Today we start with the understanding that a problem does not solve itself. The needed solution only comes about after decisions are made and actions are taken. Unfortunately, when the problem is an obvious one like cancer, the needed solution often loses out to politics, pandering, and a few other decisions. My first guest today is here with the results of a study of how New Jersey and other states are taking action regarding how they address cancer prevention laws and policies. He is the Government Relations Director for the New Jersey Chapter of the American Cancer Society, Cancer Action Network, Ethan Hasberg. Thanks for being here today, Ethan.
Thank you, Chris.
And the website is acscan.org. That's for wherever you are listening in the stream, you can get to your specific state on that site. But for New Jersey, it would then be /NJ. And you can see the work of your local region's American Cancer Society, Cancer Action Network, and as well as download the report of entitled How Do You Measure Up? And Ethan, what's the focus? What is the goal of this report every year?
Sure. So today, the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, we released our 14th annual How Do You Measure Up report. This report really illustrates how states stand on specific issues that play a critical role in reducing cancer incidence and death. The report really offers a blueprint for state policymakers to effectively implement provisions in a way that will benefit cancer patients and their families. This year, the report measured each state on 10 issues that, one, encourage cancer prevention, issues that guarantee access to affordable quality health care, issues that curb tobacco use, and issues that focus on a patient's quality of life.
And as far as New Jersey, we'll go down the list here and focus on a few of the elements. And, you know, for a change, when we talk about New Jersey, let's go with some good news, because it's not often we can do that with New Jersey and studies like this. But I guess it might sound weird to say, but in a way, a high tax is a good thing when it comes to tobacco products, for example.
Absolutely, Chris. High tobacco taxes are a good thing. Studies consistently show that the higher price the product, the less likely people are going to start purchasing it. And, the higher you make it, also the less, people will reduce their consumption of that product. And, the number one cancer killer is lung cancer. And tobacco use and exposure to secondhand smoke causes the majority of those lung cancers and nearly one in three deaths from all cancers.
I guess the bad news, though, is with the high price of cigarettes, doesn't that mean that people, especially younger people, are looking for alternatives? I've seen just the other day at the store, I guess there are these super cheap, even fruit-flavored, they call them little cigars or smokes or whatever the case may be, and they literally cost a buck for a couple. So is that a way where just, again, especially the younger people are still finding a path to affordable tobacco products?
Certainly. Flavored tobacco products are always an issue of concern for advocates. It's no secret that flavored products attract young people. In New Jersey, there is a difference in the tax rates for cigarettes and non-cigarette tobacco products, like you just mentioned, like those mini cigars. Those are taxed at a different rate than cigarettes, and that's one issue that we certainly have been encouraging lawmakers to look at: tobacco tax parity. Increasing the tax rate on those non-cigarette tax tobacco products up to the level of the cigarette tax.
Is that the same? Does that hold true as well for e-cigarettes? Are they taxed at a different rate than
that? E-cigarettes are not subject to any tobacco tax right now in New Jersey.
Because I'm thinking, by design, at least by how they're presented, e-cigarettes are supposed to be for someone who's a heavy-duty smoker to lower their smoking and eventually come off of doing any smoking. But it seems like, again, going to the younger people, it's becoming a gateway to start smoking.
Yeah, certainly, e-cigarettes, you know, they're a fairly new product. There's, you know, certainly not the extensive type of research that have been that's been done on cigarettes and tobacco products over the years. You know, the FDA has not approved e-cigarettes as an effective method to help smokers quit. And this year, the FDA, finally came out with its rules to regulate the manufacturing and the sale of e-cigarettes. In New Jersey, has sort of been ahead of the curve in this. We've been one of the few states in the country that have been that included e-cigarettes in our Clean Indoor Air Act, and also included e-cigarettes in our age of sale. So technically, individuals under the age of 19 should not be able to purchase e-cigarettes in New Jersey, just like they can't purchase any other tobacco product. But you know that you know what you talked about, you know, really brings back to one of the biggest marks in the How Do You Measure Up report is New Jersey's lack of tobacco control funding. You know, New Jersey is the only state to not spend one penny of state dollars on tobacco control and prevention programs. You know, and these programs are one of the biggest ways and most effective ways to help people quit and also prevent people from starting in the first place.
With the Ethan Hasbrook, who is the Government Relations Director for the New Jersey Chapter of the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, ACSCAN.org/New Jersey, for obviously New Jersey. You'll also find, if you're listening on the stream, your state as well as you can download the copy of the annual report, How Do You Measure Up, to see how your state is doing in addition to New Jersey, above and beyond the points that we're going to get to here. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Yeah, what you talked about, Ethan, too, with the tobacco control programs and cessation services, which are two of the lower ratings for New Jersey, it's sort of left up to local organizations, civic organizations, which, you know, in comparison to funding that the state has available at their fingertips, local organization, albeit with a just and dedicated purpose in mind, really can't deliver the results to the magnitude because they're lacking the funding that the state would have available.
Yeah, that's right. You know, New Jersey, we are the only state that doesn't spend any state dollars on tobacco control and prevention programs. It doesn't mean the state's not doing anything. They are. They receive this past year $3 million from the CDC to do certain activities related to tobacco prevention and cessation programs in New Jersey. While they are doing something, you know, we could be doing a lot more. A well-funded tobacco control program, would be able to invest in community-level interventions in areas where the public health infrastructure is weak, strong, hard-hitting media campaigns, which have been, you know, proven as an effective way in preventing kids from starting to smoke and helping other smokers make the choice to quit. A well-funded quit line and really other tools that can help residents quit their deadly addiction and also strategies to reach those with a mental illness or addictive disorders.
A couple of the other classifications, categories in New Jersey excelled in funding for breast and cervical cancer screening, as well as the increased the expansion of Medicaid as in addition to oral chemotherapy fairness. However, in the access to care category, Ethan, cancer pain control and palliative care, New Jersey's got their foot in the water, but again, a lot more room to do more.
There is still room to do more. I think one thing the state could do immediately in terms of quality of life for patients is pass legislation we've been working on for the past 2 years. Last session, we were able to get it through the Assembly. And we've been able to get a hearing on it in the Assembly Health Committee this session, but it's Assembly Bill 542 and Senate Bill 807. And this bill deals with palliative care and hospice care. And bottom line is that this bill would improve the quality of life for those suffering from cancer and other chronic diseases by increasing access to palliative care and hospice care. It would create a state advisory council on palliative care and hospice care, a palliative and hospice care consumer and professional information and education program, and a palliative care access initiative in New Jersey to make information about accessing palliative care in New Jersey more readily available. Because what you find is, individuals don't have the understanding of palliative care and hospice care, and they're both totally underutilized. And palliative care, it can provide a better quality of life for cancer patients and those suffering from other chronic diseases, not only for the patient but also their family. And it really just focuses on relieving the pain, stress, and other symptoms associated with cancer and its treatment. It's one of the fastest growing health trends in New Jersey, nationally in healthcare over the past 10 years. And it really treats the whole person, not just the disease. It coordinates care to address physical and emotional needs, like a person's pain, their anxiety, the stress throughout the diagnosis, treatment, and survivorship.
The report again is How Do You Measure Up? A progress report on state legislative activity to reduce cancer incidence and mortality. You can download a copy. See how New Jersey does, and all the states across the country, no matter where you are, if you're listening on the radio here or anywhere else on the stream at acscan.org, and you have a drop-down menu, find your state. You can find out the activities as well of your local chapter of the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network in New Jersey. Would be acscan.org/NJ. And we've been joined this morning by their government relations director, Ethan Hasberg. Ethan, thanks so much for bringing us the results of this report. Good news, bad news, and see the bad news. I always give you the idea of where you have to put the focus on. Hopefully those in Trenton will do just that. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much, Chris.